Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome back to the Popcorn Hour. I'm Matt, this is James, and today we're talking about the movie Weapons.
Yeah, so we watched it
Friday.
We watched it Friday. There wasn't really a... It was a packed theater, surprisingly. Considering this movie recently, I think today, hit over $200 million a production budget of 38.
Oh, interesting.
Which apparently this year is the sixth movie that Warner Brothers this year has reached the top of the box office, which has never been done by a studio ever. So that's really impressive, and that's shocking. Yeah. Also, the director of this movie, Zach Cregger, is doing a Resident Evil movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be really interesting now that we've seen this. I don't know if you've seen Barbarian, which is his other horror movie
that he did. I don't think so. But I know he hasn't watched a single Resident Evil movie.
Yeah.
So, but he likes the games. So it's going to be a completely different take.
It's a good thing.
I think.
That's like whoever's directing the Mortal Kombat movie. That's like if they said they've never seen any movie, they just play the games.
Yeah.
So it's like it could be a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, I guess I'll say what I've been watching since you haven't watched anything.
Just Weapons.
Yeah. I watched all five Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Wow.
I feel like I do that kind of
every... You're really on a franchise frenzy, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why, but it's just trying to find stuff to watch.
I will be definitely on one next 2 months with slasher and just horror in general. Because this year's been amazing for horror.
Yeah.
Like, the two genres, I guess genres, that I did not expect to do well at all this year were... horror and original.
Yeah.
And this year, horror originals and just both of them in general have like exceeded.
Yeah, there's been quite a bit actually.
And that have done really movies, pretty good. Legacy sequels haven't really done well, even though Warner Brothers did have a legacy sequel and a super, but like anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched all five Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Which I love pirates, Hollywood pirates.
I guess. I saw that you were playing Assassin's Creed Black Flag earlier.
Yeah, yeah. And then I watched Weapons, of course. And then last night I watched King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which I feel like is a very underrated movie.
I like Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie. Yeah.
I like Guy Ritchie. My favorite Guy Ritchie is probably The Gentleman.
That is a really good one too. Charlie Hunnam's in that too.
Yeah, I think that was my favorite. I think they came out in 2020. I think that was my favorite from 2020.
Mm. Okay. Okay. TV show-wise, we finished Dexter finally. We started Dexter New Blood. We're going to skip Original Sin. We're going to watch Dexter New Blood.
Speaking of Original Sin, their season 2 got canceled.
Yes. I saw that yesterday. Yeah. Which I feel like that's fine. I mean, New Blood is just one season, so I didn't expect Original Sin to actually have a second season anyway.
Well, they got announced earlier, but then they didn't want two Dexters running at the same time.
That's
two different versions of the character. I'm okay with it, though.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for the actors and the crew because they'd all taken out time. They'd all been prepping.
Mm-hmm.
And then abruptly just they're like, no, we're done.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this again.
Well, honestly, Dexter Resurrection is doing really, really, really well. So I feel like they the studio sees that and they're like, well, let's just run with Resurrection and not worry about...
At this point, we should just have a Dexter segment.
Yeah, seriously. And then Peacemaker Episode 1
came out. I watched Peacemaker. I watched something.
You did. Very good start to a new season. New DC as well.
Very weird start.
Yeah.
Very much like stuff. The Boys, which I feel like this is a good thing for DC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. How do you feel about the intro? Because that's been a big topic of discussion.
I didn't care for it.
Did you care about the first season?
Yes. I liked the first season a lot.
I've gone back and watched them both separately and side by side. I think season two is better. If you watch them side by side, you can really see how much better the quality is of it.
Okay.
The issue is the song. That's the only issue, in my opinion.
So I think it's very much...
It's a little disorienting because there's so many like versions of the characters.
Yeah, I feel like it's just way more awkward than season one, like in a bad way. I think things aren't executed the way it feels like it should, like the dance moves.
Because then he's wearing a suit, his suit, and then all of a sudden the other version of him comes out wearing that suit, and then all of a sudden he's wearing normal clothes. And it's very seamless, so it feels a little disorienting.
Okay.
But I think the quality is better. I think it's mostly the song choice. I still like the intro.
Yeah, I mean, it felt awkward to me, which I think the first season it didn't feel awkward to me at all, so.
The first season I was so confused what was happening.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was weird.
Dad and I were watching it and we were like,
what? Yeah, I know. I was that way too in the first episode of season one, but then like that's probably one of the only shows where I watched the intro every single time.
Oh, I skipped it, and then Dad would be like, oh, you didn't want to watch it? And then I'd rewind it.
Oh, yeah. I watched it every single time. I didn't skip it. I was like, this is interesting. I might skip this one, though, because I didn't like it that much.
I think I like it more than season one.
Really?
Except for I think it's just the song choice.
The song choice is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But the first episode was really, really good. I liked it a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, let's get straight into our spoiler-free thoughts. Opinions, comments, concerns.
Okay. Reviews. So first, I'm gonna read this movie's about. So when all but one child from the same classroom mysteriously vanish on the same night at exactly the same time, a community is left questioning who or what is behind their disappearance.
Yep. I watched the trailer for this when I went to go see something else. I don't remember what it was. And I thought it was, I think it was for 28 years later. And I remember being really confused. I was like, okay, this seems a little weird. There's just like a drastic change in the trailer. And then I was like, okay, this is very weird. And then I was like, okay, I gotta go see this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's happening. I gotta go watch this. This one, surprisingly, though, I didn't realize how much it would have exploded. Like, everyone is talking about this movie.
Yeah.
Which is, like, insane. This is, like, not at all what I expected.
Yeah, no, not at all. The trailer didn't give anything away. Like, I had no idea what was happening
In the trailer. I feel like I said a lot. The trailer didn't do the movie justice in a good way. Like, I went in expecting something completely different, and it is not at all what I had anticipated at all. Nothing. Not one thing.
No. No, not at all. But this is the first, like, horror movie that I've watched in a really long time where I was, like, on the edge of my seat a good portion of the movie.
Yeah.
Because you kind of forget that it is a horror movie when you're watching it.
Yeah, I said that this movie feels like La La Land to me. Like, La La Land feels like I keep forgetting that it's a musical. And then a musical number happens, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a musical. What?
Yeah.
This one, I was like, okay, they're here, this is happening. And then, like, a jump scare would happen or something. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a horror movie. I completely forgot. But I don't really get jump scared in horror movies because I'm just kind of like, oh, that's literally just a person going bah to the camera.
Yeah.
But there was a few points in this movie where I did just like look at you.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And I was like, that was really good.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
But I don't feel like there was like
four or five.
Yeah, but they weren't bad. Like, there were a couple, but it wasn't, like, forced or anything like that. And most of, where you're kind of frightened is because you think something is about to happen, mm-hmm. and it either does or it doesn't.
There's one that is so hysterically funny that mm-hmm. we will get into when we get to the spoilers, but it's one of the ones with Josh Brolin.
Yes.
That is so funny.
Yes.
One thing that I did not expect from this movie is that this was the most involving or most engaging movie I've seen this year, probably.
Why?
Like, we were both sitting there, like, every moment, like, oh, what is she doing? Why are you doing that?
Yeah, okay. Like, now that you say that, yeah, I was...
Like,
yeah.
It was just kind of like... We felt very involved.
Yeah.
And that is not what I also did not expect that.
No. This movie did not go anywhere where I thought it was going to at all. I didn't even...
I thought I was going to give it a 3-star. I would say my rating, I give it 4 stars.
Yeah, I did too.
I don't think that it'll go up to 4.5 by the end of this episode, but I gave it it's a solid 4.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely was a solid 4. And I think we both kind of left the theater just like in shock.
Yeah, we walked out and I was just kind of like looking at the ground like, what? What?
Yeah.
And then I got back to my dorm and still was just like, what did I just watch?
Yeah, I did a lot of reflection after that movie about it.
I went to the gym later,
mm-hmm.
and then I sat on the roof of like my dining hall and then just stared out like, what was that?
Yeah, it was definitely weird.
Yeah.
But in a good way. Like, yeah.
I really enjoyed this movie a lot.
I did too.
This was probably... it's not my most enjoyable movie of this year. I'd say that was Superman.
Yeah.
But, like, this was up there. Like, I was, like, I really enjoyed this movie a lot.
Yeah.
It was really just fun.
Yeah.
Which is not what I expected from a horror movie, being fun.
Yeah, and no.
Engaging.
Yeah. I mean, there were plenty of times where it was, like, we were just talking to the screen.
Yeah.
And it was so weird because that doesn't really happen with me. Like, I don't... Yeah. Like, I like horror, but I don't like horror because it's too predictable.
Yeah.
This movie, I could not predict anything, really.
I'll get into my critiques later.
Well, you kind of can. You kind of can predict stuff, but, like, not in the way you normally would
like
think.
Like, the story aspects.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
We'll get to it later. But, like, there was literally at one point where Julia Gardner's character is being weird.
Mm-hmm.
And you were, like, you sat back in your seat and you had, like, your hands up by your, like, face. And you were like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, it was that quite a bit, and it super enjoyable movie,
yeah.
And I wasn't sure if I was going to like it, but it definitely kept me invested the entire time.
I don't think this is a spoiler. I the entire time, I know that this movie is heavily inspired by this movie called Magnolia. I need to watch that. But to me, this whole movie felt like it felt like Prisoners. You can tell there's a lot of Prisoners in here.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman movie with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Directed by Denis Villeneuve.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of elements with that, especially with like Josh Brolin's character and some of the parents. And then it also felt like The Burbs.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks movie, mm-hmm. where like they're all kind of like their neighborhood, the Burbs, they have like a weird neighbor, and they're all like, they're definitely like eating people over there.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, they're not. And then it becomes like a whole conspiracy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also kind of felt like, which I've heard no one say The Burbs. I've heard Prisoners a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Magnolia, because it was based off of that. But I also haven't heard Exorcist Believer, because I feel like this is a lot like that. Like, kids go missing.
Yeah.
And then there's some weird demonic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, parents, like, losing it.
Yeah.
But
Exorcist Believer wasn't that bad of a movie.
You watched it?
Yeah. We watched it in theaters.
Oh, I did, too. I think on my birthday, because it came out on my birthday.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Or the day after. I might have watched it the day after my birthday.
We were still in Hawaii when we watched it.
I was on a college visit in Colorado.
Yes. Then we were in Hawaii. Yeah. We went and watched it. I think we both kind of liked it. Like, it wasn't like the best horror movie we've ever seen, but it was like, it was better than I thought it was
going to be. That one was like a legacy sequel that no one realized was a legacy sequel.
Yeah.
Because
there's been a lot of Exorcist movies, but it has like none of them have
retouched back on really, like Reagan.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. I think that's why I kind of liked it a lot.
It was a unexpected legacy sequel.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But I liked the parents.
Yeah.
The main parents in that movie. Thought they had a really interesting story. Especially with the father.
True.
The stuff with the mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty memorable movie. Now that I think about it.
Probably won't watch it again.
No.
Yeah. No. When it comes to horror, I'd choose to watch it one time and call it a day.
But Weapons. I will probably be watching this again. In theaters? I don't know. Maybe. But
I tried to get Elizabeth to go watch it with me yesterday. Because we had a date night yesterday. But none of the movie times were feasible for us, so chose not to. But
I
almost got her close to saying yes to it. She wanted to watch Freaky Friday, but
those popcorn buckets are cool.
Yeah, those are cool.
Aren't they making a sequel to what was that? Freaky with Vince Vaughn?
Probably not. I don't think
that's
so.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, weird Vince idea. Vaughn isn't really doing a whole lot these days, so.
Just tires.
Yeah.
So I kind of just want to get straight into the spoilers.
Yeah. First, we spent 30 minutes watching ads and trailers before the movie even started.
We did. We literally got the movie. The showtime was 3:50, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got there a little after 3:50.
Yeah,
we did. Probably like 3:10.
I pulled into the parking lot at 3:49 because I was like,
maybe not 3:10. You went to the bathroom a lot.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I had to go really bad since the
start. I drank a lot of water on the way there to the theater.
I think I had like four bottles. And I was like,
I should
stop. And I was like, I have to go really bad, but I don't want to miss it.
Yeah, I feel like I picked good times to go, though. Like, I feel like I didn't.
One of them wasn't a great time.
No.
You missed, like, a ritual thing.
Oh, well, I guess I got to watch the movie again.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30, it was like, it was almost 4:50 when the movie started.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, and they need to stop with that. It was 10 minutes of ads, 20 minutes of trailers.
Well, what's weird is I feel like if I'm 10 minutes late to the movie, then they start the movie early. Because there's one time I went to go see a re-release of a movie, and I showed up 5 minutes late, and the movie started. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that's weird.
Every time, if I'm 5 minutes late, then it just doesn't.
Honestly, they should just do the movie actually start at 3:50, and if you want to get there early, you can.
That's what it kind of used to be like. It used to be like the movie would start 10 minutes after or 15 minutes after. Now they just keep
adding.
Now at this point, the screen turns on.
Yeah,
at 3:50.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's annoying. But I was really annoyed yet when we watched Weapons.
Yeah, we could have went to the previous showing.
We could have, yeah, and it would have been fine.
Yeah,
but. That's okay.
Yeah. Still enjoyable
movie. Yeah.
But I'm ready to get to the spoilers for this because.
Okay.
I feel like. Yeah. But we'll say it's 4-star. Go watch it. Chad Kroeger did an amazing job. Everyone else involved, all the cast, Josh Brolin, Benedict Wong, Julia Gardner.
Just want to mention that we have the Silver Surfer, Thanos, and Wong.
And Cable.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yeah. All in one movie.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
I have noticed there's been a lot of, like, ouch. You good?
Yeah.
A lot of, like, MCU or superhero characters have been in a lot of, like, I don't really know what to call them, but this movie I feel like is one of those, like, blockbuster, critically acclaimed movies.
Yeah.
Kinda like what Sinners was.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of those mm-hmm. going on now. Like, Michael B. Jordan was in Black Panther and Creed.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah.
Now let's get into the spoilers.
Yeah. I want to start off with the introduction of this movie.
I do, too. Did you like it?
No exposition. It was just straight into it. It was just, it was 5 seconds of exposition. They were like, it was a little kid saying, all these kids went missing. And then it just starts the day that they go missing, and then it's just 30 days later.
Yeah. I actually really like the introduction because...
Yeah, straightforward usually, to the point.
Yeah. I liked how the screen was black, the little girl starts talking, explaining what's happening, and then explained the events that occurred, and then we kind of just get into it.
Mm.
Wherein I was expecting a lot of
I thought it was backstory gonna be 30 minutes.
Every single character.
Yeah.
And then we see the events that happen.
I thought it was going to be 30 minutes into the movie before the kids go missing, or 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was a little nervous because the runtime was 2 hours and 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that's right. And I was like, okay, they're getting right into this. That's all right.
Yeah, I was very pleased with that.
I thought the movie was going to drag, but it did not. It didn't drag.
No, it didn't drag at all. And I think a lot of it had to do with how they formatted the movie itself with mm-hmm. the different chapters based off of the different characters. So I think it worked really, really well. But I think the intro was pretty perfect.
Kind of reminded me of Sinners a little bit, because Sinners was, it wasn't black and white. It had like hieroglyphs looking things. And then the explanation of music
mm-hmm.
and these like creatures or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very pleased with how the intro happened, and mm-hmm. I'm glad we didn't spend a whole lot of time explaining each character.
It's kind of like the characters get explained with their own stories.
Yeah. And even then, it's not like a whole lot. It's not overly done. Because we didn't need...
We went through like 5.
Yeah. All we need to know is what happened and then how
it's going to end. How these people are involved and
stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So I like that a lot. I think this movie had a... two things that I feel make horror movies horror for me. Kids doing creepy things and old people doing creepy things.
Just both ends of the spectrum.
Yes. And because, like, Children of the Corn, I absolutely hate that movie. The Visit, hate that movie. Because kids being creepy and old people being creepy.
I think the creepiest part was the... poor Alex's mom walking out like,
yeah,
with the scissors.
Yeah,
I thought that was the creepiest part.
Yeah,
that part was very anxiety inducing.
Yes, it
and
was.
I really liked that scene a lot because it was so calm. It's a very long one-er of just the door,
mm-hmm.
and then just this zoom out tracking shot, and then you don't show her in the back seat. You just, like, hear her presence. And then there's just a mystery of what is happening. And there's just so much of, like, the unknown that you're just trying to process and trying to think.
Yeah.
And that scene was just really good. I'm just going to say this before we get into it later, but the cinematography, stellar.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic. Say that again. I'll talk about it later, but I was really impressed with it.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite shots of this year.
Yeah, it did really good. I like how this movie went through chapters. We see the same events from different perspectives.
Yeah, I will say the strong suit and the weakest point of this movie is the chapters.
Yes,
I feel like it could be seen at the same time because how it's told in a nonlinear context is it's five steps forward, two steps back. And it just kind of it's too formulaic, and it's almost like just tell this like a linear story.
Mm-hmm.
But because you have those perspective changes, like especially James, the homeless guy, which that guy did amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He did awesome. And then Paul, the cop, like when Paul knocks him out, he's kind of like, oh crap, I need to wake this guy up and make sure he's not hurt because he just freaked out because he just got stabbed by a needle.
Yeah.
And obviously
he knocked him out.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
The needles.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh my God, I got pricked.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he gets stabbed in the face with three of them later, he's like, you have got to be kidding me.
Yeah. You stabbed me.
That was hilarious. But like he knocks him out and he's like, oh, I got to wake him up. I got to make sure this guy's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he almost has more of these like high angle shots where he seems more human. But once it switches perspective to James, the homeless guy, Paul just seems like a douche.
Yeah.
And then Paul has these like really tight, low shots in James's perspective to like show more of his authority and his presence.
Right. Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. Especially, I really liked the one when Josh Brolin's character kicks Benedict Wong.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that chase scene from both perspectives. And usually when they do stuff like that, it's kind of, you could tell that a lot went into the blocking of the scenes because it was so perfect, down to the last minute detail. I said that last week, but I don't care.
The issue with the different perspective things is it creates, and I think Zach Cregger even said it, it creates a lot of plot holes.
Yeah.
Like when Alex is coming home and the cop car's there, like we kind of forget that the character James is actually in the backseat of the cop car.
Yeah.
Because it hadn't been dark yet. So that's kind of like, I think the biggest plot hole that I noticed, but like even he, like the director Zach Cregger, he said that he feels like he took a lot of liberties with this movie, which also created plot holes, but it's fine, like it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. The plot holes don't really bother me.
No,
except for Alex's parents kind of take me out of it a little bit, because this is a small town. Mm-hmm. Josh Brolin, his character, literally pulled out a map of the town, and you could see the whole place. But if 17 kids go missing, and the only kid in that class that is still there, like everyone's like interviewing, investigating him, and then you find out that both of his parents had a stroke right after.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that wouldn't be a bigger talking point across the town, but that would be a huge one. And also, CPS would have showed up at his house.
Yeah. Because
Gladys didn't have custody over him.
No.
So CPS would have had to have shown up.
Yeah.
To their house.
Yeah, and, I guess.
Like, you're telling me that the FBI only came once? Or twice?
Yeah.
That part just kind of, I didn't like that. Okay. But, I mean, I'm fine with it. I just didn't like it. I thought it was, I just didn't like it. But
yeah, I get that.
But I felt bad for James's character.
Yeah.
When he's like, he's just sitting in the cop car for like hours.
I liked it. So
he was really funny too. So how do I get the 50 grand?
Yeah. So I kind of, going off of that, I kind of want to go through each of the main characters. So starting with him, I felt like he was really good comic relief for the movie itself. Like, I really liked when he noticed something, then his little facial expression. It was like, it was comical.
Yeah.
And then when he breaks into Alex's house and
he's just searching everything just nonchalantly.
And then notices the parents
sitting there. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll get out. And he's like, you good?
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm just going
to
take this.
Yeah, he continues on to doing what he does, goes down to the basement, sees the kids. They turn around, and that was creepy.
Yeah.
That was so creepy. And then he runs back and just tries to... Kids being weird. Yeah. Kids just being creepy. That scene was kind of scary as well, because he's, like, trying to leave, and the parents get up and are trying to, like, get to him and stuff like that. Very creepy.
Yeah.
You said that was done really, really well.
Yeah, I liked that a lot, because it was just drawn out, and actually, it kind of brings a good point that, like, music, my music appreciation class, even the sound design and the music in that movie, if you hear or see something that kind of gives you goosebumps, it's because, for example, this scene, it's just drawing out, and this is why, I'm going to bring it up every single time, The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing, the interrogation scene, it is just drawn out to the point where you're just, like, wanting it to just get to the point where you think it's going to go, and then once they finally, like, give you that, like, the answer, that, like, release or the relief of, like, knowing what happens, then you... It's like a weird euphoric feeling. And this movie does, like, capture that, where just drawing it out, building this tension. You're like, he's gonna die. And then, like, he barely makes it out.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, whoa. And it's just, the tension just keeps building and building.
Right.
And then it's...
Yeah.
Like
that. So, Julia Garner's character, I think, did a really good... Like, she did really good.
Yeah.
And there were... I thought we were going to follow her the entire time.
I did too.
And then we didn't. And then we see different aspects of the different characters kind of interacting with her.
Mm-hmm. And how they each view her.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was really cool. Like, because, like, through her perspective, she kind of, you can kind of see that she's just trying to just make it by. She's just trying to be her own person, and everyone's, like, threatening to hurt her, and she's always, like, on the edge of her seat all the time. And then, like, Marcus, the principal, he's just kind of, like, he's trying to deal with everything that's happening, but he also realizes that he has to, like, help her and keep her, like, safe from everything. And then we see, like, Archer, Josh Brolin's character, he's just kind of, like, sees her as the issue.
Yeah.
And is very... kind of blindsided because he just wants an answer. Yeah. So he's not really, at first, he's not really opened to the theory that it wasn't her. She's just kind of someone that he can target.
Yeah.
The biggest issue I do have with her character is at the end of the movie, when her and Paul are fighting, she grabs his gun and she shoots him. And my biggest issue with, like, a lot of times when movies use guns, and, like, especially how they used it in this, how it's just used one time, there's not a lot of power or, like, force behind it. It's just kind of like, oh, that's a little loud. But, like, her character carries around pepper spray. So when she's at her house and she's trying to defend herself, she's holding up pepper spray.
Yeah.
But I think if they made her more, like, nervous or, like, scared to, like, shoot the gun, but, like, she doesn't even blink when she shoots it. She's just like, oh, okay. But, like, if she was more kind of, like, not like vulnerable, but unfamiliar, I thought that would have been a lot better for that. Like, when she shoots, I would have liked it if she, like, really, like, cringed or, like, winced and then, like, looked away. And then I would have really liked it if the, like, sound design it was just, like, echoey. And just, like, you can feel the power behind it. And then
kind of like when they do, like, explosions in movies.
Yeah.
And they have, like, that ringing in the ear. Yeah. Like, you're going to have ringing in your ear if you shoot a
gun. Especially how close she was. Like, he was in her face. So she basically shot it right in front of her face.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been nice to, like, have her be disoriented from it.
Or, like, seeing her reaction, like, looking at the gun after she just killed him.
Yeah.
After they had some sort of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, like, her, like, looking at the gun or whatever, and then just kind of, like, sitting there, like, absorbing the moment. I would have liked that a lot. Because it doesn't make sense how she's just kind of, like, kind of careless.
Yeah.
When she kills him. Because, I mean, that would make sense if she was like that. If she was at her home with a firearm rather than pepper spray.
Yeah.
I think it's just and also could have been a nice use of foreshadowing if that's the route that they wanted to go with.
Yeah.
But because they chose pepper spray, I think it would have been better to see her more startled mm-hmm. than she was.
Yeah.
Also, Josh Brolin just not caring that he almost killed her was a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't mind that. But I thought that she would have had, like, she clearly has a drinking problem in this movie. And I figured it was because of the fact that, like, all the kids missing and everybody's blaming her.
Mm-hmm.
But then we find out that she's had previous DUIs.
Mm-hmm.
And she has always had a drinking problem.
I'm assuming that, I mean, her drinking problem comes out when she's coping.
Because
I'm assuming when she got fired from her last job for having relations, she probably went into depression for losing her job and for no longer being able to see whoever she was. Did they say the principal or something?
Yeah, I don't remember. Something like that.
But I'm assuming that she went to like a deep, because when Paul's not there, then she was like upset.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was just like her coping. And I feel like you can see that as like, I don't know, just like how to not cope or whatever.
Yeah. The thing that I didn't really like was when she goes after the town hall meeting, she goes to the liquor store and then goes home, and then there's a knock at the door. She doesn't see anybody, and then there's an even more aggressive knock,
mm-hmm.
which honestly freaked me out a little bit.
It was weird.
But then, like, there's nobody there, and then she notices that there's a witch painted on her car. But then when we go to Archer's character,
we see the paint.
We see, like, it's clear that he did it, but, like,
But when they show the paint, it's, like, smudged on the side. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, like, he just used it. But then we see him go follow her home that night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, wait, so he didn't actually use that paint can. But I was like, okay.
Yeah. And then all these, I didn't really understand, like, the dreams.
I don't understand why Gladys was in their dreams.
Yeah.
Or in the woods when James saw her.
Well, so that one specifically, I think they just put that in there for the trailer. Because it was in the trailer. And I think it was clearly just for the trailer. Which, by the way, probably one of the creepiest moments. Her just smiling and waving.
Because I've seen a lot of people talk about the big twist that Gladys is the villain. Did you not see the jump scares? Why else would they be showing her?
Yeah.
I do feel like that there wasn't really much of a strong suit with, like, the second you see her throughout the jump scares, and then once you actually finally see her in person in Marcus's office, you're like, oh, she's doing all of this.
Yeah. But you really just don't know how.
Yeah.
Shortly after she's in Marcus's office, we find out like how she's doing this stuff, but still there's no explanation.
I like how there's no explanation behind this tree. I'm glad that they're not like a whole, this is the whatever tree, and then this, it's just kind of like, there's a tree, she snaps twigs, puts hair on it, throws in a bowl, rings a bell.
Yeah.
The one thing that I didn't like is how much just obvious foreshadowing there was with the whole parasite thing, because parasites are playing on the TV in Marcus and his husband's living room.
Uh-huh.
It's a weird thing to be watching in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Julia Gardner's character, she's teaching about
parasites. Yeah.
Another interesting thing is on the wall in her classroom, there's depictions of whales,
mm-hmm.
signaling, or like they're going to be talking about whales later in the class, or they had already talked about whales. And I've seen, that's because whales have, like, an echolocation. And Zach Krieger is one of those nitpicky directors where if something is on set and you see something, there's a meaning. Reason.
Yeah.
So I think that's supposed to be, like, an echolocation thing between, like, their hive mind.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
And I also, I like how there's not really an explanation how Gladys is, like, actually feeding on them.
Yeah.
Because I think that's, I like that for interpretation.
Yeah, I do too. And I liked how it wasn't where because Josh Brolin and Julia Garner's characters, like, they end up joining forces and trying to figure out what it is. And then I'm glad they didn't do it to where, like, oh, they did a quick Google search and then found out who this, like, who Gladys is.
Kind of like Countdown. They did that in Countdown.
Yeah. I thought that was yeah. Down. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, these characters know exactly what's happening and how to end it. And the, like,
it's like they didn't know how to end it.
Yeah.
Even when they got there and when the final duel, they didn't know how to end it. They just showed up to find the kids.
Yeah.
They didn't, they still didn't know what was happening. It was Alex.
Yeah.
That figured it out.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a cool moment. That kid did really amazing. He did really good.
Yeah. I like, he did
really good. I did say in the theater, it's got to be weird when he goes home and his parents are like, what'd you do on set today? Fed kid soup.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to see, like, kids in a horror movie and, like, stuff like that. But I thought he did a good job. I want to talk about Archer's dream.
Yeah. Also, although real quick, I think Paul and James, they did not need to be characters in this movie. Like, if you really think about it,
no.
There was no point for them.
No.
Like, they could have just followed Archer and Julie Gardner's character.
Yeah.
The whole movie. Because if you exclude them, everything would have really, like, if you excluded seeing their perspectives, it really wouldn't have changed much.
Yeah, true.
But I liked them.
I liked them in it as well.
And I think it also helped extend the runtime of the movie.
Yeah.
So, I'm okay with it.
So, Archer's dream, he's dreaming about his son, and he goes out, sees his son running, goes through the woods, but then when he goes through, he goes right back to his house.
Yeah. Another movie that does the literally exact same thing is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I love that movie. And it, there's a point, it's definitely the most experimental movie I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I like how this movie, Weapons, takes, implements, like, experimental stuff and, like, the dream sequences. But in that movie, there's Jim Carrey's, like, he crashes his car, or, like, his girlfriend crashes his car, and then he's, like, chasing her on foot, and then when he, like, gets to the end of the road, it's just a mirrored version of that, and then he's like, what? And then turns around and goes the other way to try to, because he sees her running again, tries to follow her, and then it's just the car again, and it just keeps flipping back and forth through the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And this movie did that, and I liked that a lot.
Yeah. I didn't really care for the AR-15 in the sky. It was hard to see. I've seen some people say it's like a correlation between, like, gun control, gun violence, things like that.
Oh, I know it. I know what it is.
What?
Okay, so the 217 is because The Shining, the room is 217. It's just a little nod. Also, 217, Matthew 217 and the Bible is like a story about a mass slaughter of, like, kids, pretty sure, or youth. And then apparently also 217 is, like, the number of votes for some sort of gun control law.
Okay. To see that, okay. That makes more sense.
That kind of makes sense why there was an AR-15.
Yeah, the AR-15 was a little hard to see, though.
Yeah, until the lightning. It reminded me of Sharknado 2 when they're on the plane and then lightning strikes and then there's a shark in the clouds.
Yeah, that was interesting. And then
I forgot about that.
He thinks he sees Matthew in bed, and, you know, Matthew turns around and he's, like, there, but he's not speaking. And then all of a sudden, like, Gladys is, like, actually there. And then he wakes up. And before that happened, I said, what the fuck, under my breath. And then he wakes up and screams it. And I thought that was so funny.
That was, I think that's by far the funniest moment in the movie.
Yeah.
Because that was priceless. Like, that, that was so funny, which Zach Cregger is a comedy writer, which I kind of want to get into the sad fact that I had about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a comedy sketch writer for a while on a show called Whitest Kids You Know.
Okay, yeah.
And he had a friend named Trevor Moore who had passed away in an accident. And like a way to honor him, I guess, or honor one of the sketches they did a sketch about a guy eating 7 hot dogs. So when we see Marcus and his husband at the house, he has 7 hot dogs on a tray.
Oh, okay.
So that was supposed to be like a little homage to this a skit that they had worked on together.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. Because we were watching and you were
like, that's like, a lot of hot dogs. I was like, that's a lot of food.
Yeah.
And also, if I counted and was like, why is there seven? There's mm-hmm. two of them.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It was. Are they both eating 3.5?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But that's a nice little homage thing. Marcus's character, I liked how he was kind of like Switzerland in this situation. He's trying to like keep the peace, really.
Yeah.
What I didn't like is when he was grocery shopping and his husband is like picking out two different things. And
are you about to say that he picked the wrong cereal or something?
No, I just didn't like that. Like, that's not how I grocery shop. It's either like I pick something or like I don't. There's no like, if I want something, I'll get it, you know? Uh-huh. But like, they're just like, he's just kind of holding up two things each time. It's like, which one do you want? Like, no, that's not.
But isn't it like the same? It's like a cereal. It's like,
he does it like four times.
Yeah, but it's like a bag of chips and it's like sour cream and onion or Lay's or classic, whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. I didn't like it at all. I found it very annoying because it's just not how I grocery shop. Like when Elizabeth and I go grocery shopping.
Yeah, you just put your arm on the shelf and just start grabbing everything.
No, I pick what I want. And if she wants something, she picks what she wants. And then we just do it that way. If we both want a bag of chips and we want different ones, we'll pick it.
Weren't they both just at the same time, though, like throwing stuff in the cart?
No, he was on the phone dealing with
Justine. And that's a little weird.
And then his husband is just picking two different things out. And is like, which one do you want? Pretty much.
Speaking of them two. That scene in the house when Gladys shows up?
Yeah.
Whoa. That was crazy.
Yeah, he just...
That was insane.
As soon as he gets in a trance, I guess, or possessed, or however you want to put it.
Yeah.
Just bashes in his husband's head with his own head.
And then his, like, eyes pop out?
Or, yes. But then he's... Before that...
But, like, when he's running, his eyes are, like...
Yeah.
Completely popped.
Before he does that, though, he throws up black goo like all black over tar. His face. Yeah. So gross.
Yeah. That kind of reminded me of the movie Black Christmas. Their blood is like black goop.
Ew. Yeah. It was really gross. And then the bashing of the head in, it was just hard to watch, honestly.
It was kind of like, you know, you ever take like an apple and you like push in the apple and then it's kind of like spongy?
I guess. Yeah.
That's what that looked like.
Yeah.
Then he's like running.
Really gross.
Yeah.
The effects and the makeup on that was really good.
Okay. Since we're already at this point, the kids ripping Gladys like Mad Max Furiosa.
Yeah.
That's not what that movie's called. In Furiosa, when they all had the bikes chained up to the guy, it was like that, but you actually saw it.
Yeah.
They like literally ripped her head like a can.
Yeah. It was. It looked really, really good.
Yeah.
But it was so gross.
Oh, actually, I do have one issue when Benedict Wong dies, or Marcus, when he dies, he's running and gets hit by a car. But for some reason, his head is exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So when he gets hit by the car, I'm assuming like that's just internal injuries. And then when he falls, his head goes under the tire.
I thought he went over the top.
No. No. It literally, like, the vehicle hits him and takes Marcus with him.
Okay,
with
the car. Makes sense.
And then he falls, and I'm assuming the way he fell, the tires ran over the head.
The long way.
Yes.
Because he was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought Josh Brolin was just, what I thought was going to happen is he was going to catch up to Justine, and then just like sandwich him.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought he would have been the one that run. Like I figured he would have get ran over.
I thought if that didn't happen, once the light turned red, I was like, oh, Archer's gonna get hit.
Yeah, or
wait a minute.
Or he was gonna run the red light and he was gonna get into an accident.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, that's what I just said.
No, I thought you.
No, I thought he was gonna run and get hit.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... Marcus was going to get hit by...
There's a lot of weird similarities with the characters' names in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like James, Matthew,
mm-hmm.
Archer.
Yeah. Also, Matthew has Batman bed sheets, which kind of makes sense. But he's a bully.
Yeah, so. you were like, oh, he's got Batman bed sheets. That makes sense. And then I was like, they're like, oh, this guy's name is James. I was like, oh, that's cool.
He's a drug addict.
And I was like,
Yeah. I like all the characters' names in this movie. I thought that the makeup and the effects of like the blood.
I thought Sinners was going to win at the Oscars. I think this one's going to beat it.
You think so? I don't think so.
I think the VFX, the makeup visual effects will beat it.
I don't think so, because there's really only three in this movie.
Sinners really only had like a handful.
Did it?
I feel like this one had better looking.
Well, so this one had three different events, but with Sinners, like you still had the characters after they turned.
Yeah.
So like they're still walking around, so I feel like it was more.
I feel like this is a case of quantity over quality. Even though Sinners looked amazing,
yeah,
but it just had more.
True.
But this one had less, but they spent a lot more time and budget on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although they're both stylistic choices, and I thought they were both really good. I've been thinking about this. What's better? Or what do you think? What's better and what do you like more, Sinners or Weapons? This is a hard question.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. Because it was kind of like the conversation of Sinners or Nosferatu, because they're both vampire movies.
Yeah. I think it kind of depends. Because I think Weapons is like a really good horror movie.
I feel like I could watch Sinners back to back to back.
Yeah,
I don't think I could do back to back to back.
No, I could watch Sinners multiple times, but like I said, I'd probably maybe watch Weapons one more time.
I'd probably watch it a couple.
Yeah, I mean, but like I feel like I'll end up watching Sinners more. I just like that time frame in Sinners.
Although a lot I feel more. Like this one showed a lot less care. It was an ensemble cast. But like Sinners had two main characters,
mm-hmm.
Smoke and Stack, and then it had some side characters. This one had like five main characters.
Yeah,
so true. It's the character is just different.
Mm-hmm.
I like the characters of Sinners more, but I think, I mean, these ones are more real and tangible to modern times.
True. Yeah, that makes sense.
What do you think about the music of this movie?
I thought it was done really well.
I liked it a lot. It was not formulaic, because I feel like most horror movies kind of just copy the same general type of like screeching.
Yeah.
But I feel like this thrived well with its sound design.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Sinners thrived well with its music design.
Yeah. I think so. I think the sound design in Weapons is done really, really well.
Especially the bell.
And it fits, yeah. It fits everything. So, yeah. I mean, music-wise, I mean, it was okay.
Yeah. It wasn't standout-ish.
No.
But I will... I was thinking about this a lot, and I feel like I'm going to forget if I don't say this. My biggest issue, and this is just movies with, like, all of this year. It's not that not every movie has to be like this. Every movie has to be like its own thing. Like, for example, I don't know why this is the first thing I thought of. People are saying Pattinson should be in the new DCU. But like the Batman, if you categorize it by like fit movie, film, or cinema, you just put it in that generic thing. The Batman is a film.
Mm-hmm.
Superman is a movie.
Yeah.
There's nothing bad about that. That's what they are. I love them both.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this year, there just hasn't been a lot. My favorite type of movie is something very like thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously not everything has to be intellectually profound. Like this movie is just a really fun horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an issue with this probably like yesterday. It just didn't linger with me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of movies here really haven't lingered with me, except for Sinners did, because of just how shocking that was.
Mm-hmm.
And Magazine Dreams were like the two this year that really, I feel like were, Sinners not as much. Sinners I was just kind of like baffled and it made me think about it. And this movie does the same thing. I'm like baffled by it. So I'm just thinking about it a lot. But like, I think, and 28 years later, and 28 years later and Magazine Dreams were the only two that really kind of felt more thought-provoking to me. And not every movie has to be like, there doesn't need to be like 50 a year. I'm fine with like 3 to 10. But I feel like there just hasn't been a lot this year.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the most thought-provoking movie of all time is obviously 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Not every movie has to be 2001.
I mean, I think this movie had a lot of thought-provoking moments.
Yeah.
And especially now, like after you watch it and there's not a lot of explanation on stuff.
Yeah. It just makes you question the movie more, which is one reason why I love 2001 so much.
Yeah.
But like, this movie leaves you questioning a lot, which is, I think is a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
Because then it also makes you develop your own vision of this movie in your head, which makes it more personalized. So if movies do that, not every movie has to do it, obviously, but like if movies do that, then you and I watched a different movie.
Yeah.
Rather it just being like really in your face, like this is what this tree is, this is what this is this.
Yeah.
That's more leaving up for interpretation.
True. All right. Gladys. What'd you think?
I didn't really like her much as a villain. I thought, I mean, her motives kind of, they made sense. I like how we don't really know anything about her history or, like, the history with her and and Alex's family.
Yeah, it's very mysterious.
I'm assuming she had tried this before, because obviously there's no way that she, this is her first time. This was not her first rodeo.
Yeah. And it's clear that she's a witch.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of, like, I feel like a lot of people were maybe like, what is she? Like, I was expecting, as we're watching it, I was expecting more so, like, it's Pennywise is technically an alien. I was kind of expecting something like that, or, like, some type of actual parasite thing, like some form of demonic insect thing.
I did think that she was going to be a weird zombie thing, because they were talking about that ant with, like, the cordyceps thing, and that is known as, like, the zombie ant, or the zombie parasite, because it like takes over the brain and they literally die and then the parasite just kind of like takes over. So I figured that's what was happening.
Yeah. I liked Gladys a lot as a villain.
I just didn't understand why she was showing up in the dreams.
Yeah, that part didn't really make sense. But like, I like the weird Joker-esque makeup.
That was
and
she's weird.
Very bubbly and just like seems like a nice lady, but really she's just kind of like something else. But I think she kind of stole the show of the movie, in my opinion.
Well, who's your top three characters of this movie?
I'd probably have to say Gladys, Archer, and Alex.
Wow. Wow, I did not expect that. I would say Archer. I like Paul. I don't know if he's up there. I like James. I like all the characters.
I do too. But like,
I would say Archer. I would also say Alex. And I think I would, I feel like it's between Marcus and James. I'd probably say James. I thought he was like a breath of fresh air in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, kind of diverted your attention a little bit. I did have an issue when we were watching it about the, like, we're kind of like on this path, the straightforward path of them going to Alex's house. And then it just cuts away from that for like 45 minutes.
What do you mean?
Like, Archer and Justine are like, they're like, oh, it's at Alex's house. And then it just cuts away to the James and Paul story.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of like none of that really meant anything.
Yeah.
And then it gets back into it. I don't really care. It's just a weird thing that I noticed. I mean, I'm glad those two characters were in it. I thought they had a really interesting story.
Yeah.
But I do feel like the non-linear telling of this story is Yeah, the strongest and the weakest point of this movie. It's kind of like if you putting it in this movie kind of makes it stand out and brings a new limelight on the perspective changes.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, at the same time, just leaves plot holes.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot of plot holes in this movie.
Yeah, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I still enjoyed it.
The climax of the movie when Justine and Archer actually go to Alex's house and they, you know, Paul kind of comes out and he's waving in and then they go inside.
And the salt.
So once that kind of starts, there's a lot of good moments and there's a lot of stuff that I didn't like.
The biggest thing I didn't like about that was the Justine gun thing.
Yeah, that was kind of eh. But I thought I really liked the Archer
knocking out James like 80 times.
Yeah, multiple
was
times.
So funny.
Yeah.
Like he's like knocked out and then he starts screaming again. Mm-hmm. I saw another thing that the whales echolocation that's had to communicate every time they fight, they're screaming. So I feel like that could be another tribute to the whales.
Yeah. Thing. I did think that stuff kind of drug on a little too long. Like we didn't need to see Archer knock out James 50 times.
That part I'd say it did. But like I do like how long the third act was, because like a lot of third acts this year have been like cut short, like really abruptly.
Yeah. But I feel like it kind of just with Justine being choked out for however long, like it seemed a little too long for her to be choked out, not to at least lose consciousness,
mm-hmm.
Which I didn't really care for. But then another thing that, like, of course, Alex is the hero and stuff like that, figures out what needs to be done. He takes a long time to get, you know,
yeah, he's taking a sweet time doing this ritual.
Yes. There was a little nod to The Shining with Alex's mom coming out.
Yeah, because they keep busting through, because they bust through the bedroom door, like The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
And then that scene is just so good in The Shining. I'll huff and I'll puff.
Yeah.
And then she busts down the bathroom door.
Yeah.
And has like her face.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, does she say something?
I don't think so.
But, yeah, that was cool. And then I was confused when I thought that was kind of dumb to make him take his time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like they were just trying to drag it out, but it's just, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in this situation, you're going to be going quick.
Yeah. And then when he finally breaks a stick, and all the kids start going up to
class. I was really confused about his parents, like, not going.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, when Alex starts hugging them, and they're just, like, not moving, I was like,
yeah,
what is happening? And then I think this is the theory I was going to say. Their brains,
because
remember the little girl says some of them are learning how to talk again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's because of your, since they were kids, their brains are still growing and developing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that could be because their brain is still more active than someone whose brain is fully developed.
Maybe, yeah, because the parents didn't ever fix.
I thought that would have been cool if they like included something, because since they're like screaming or something like that, you could say that there was like a harmony with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of people, like, if they lose their speech, they relearn how to talk by singing.
Yeah.
Because it's a completely different part of the brain than your speech, and you can regrow that part back.
Mm.
But,
yeah.
I poor Alex. I want to know what happens to him.
Yeah. So,
poor guy.
Once he breaks the stick and all the kids go after Gladys, I think that kind of took me out. Because as soon as she realizes, like, the kids are coming after her.
How did she run for so long? Like, how did they not catch up to her?
Yeah, but it turned into, like,
they look like they're playing a
comedy thing, almost. Like, I didn't like that, how she just kind of yells and it's kind of comical.
I do like the kids, shots.
Like, going through, like,
I like all the different houses. Tracking shots of, like, the kids.
Yeah, like them busting through windows and stuff was really cool, and I liked that a lot.
I thought that was funny when Josh Brolin starts walking through that house, and
yeah,
then someone's like, oh, there's a man here.
Yeah, and she starts flipping out. So, like, all that was cool, but, like, her running kind of took me out of that part a little bit.
I just understand how they didn't catch up to her.
Yeah. And then, like, you have all these kids just ripping her apart, which
that was...
I want to know what the kids, like, the kids that played these parts, like, what their experience was on that. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, I can imagine it being fun, but I can also imagine it being kind of traumatizing.
It's got to be, like, throwing a piñata mm-hmm. in a crowd of kids.
Yeah.
And then just them ripping it. But, like, that looked really good.
It did. Yeah.
Like, that looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminded me of Shaun of the Dead.
Yes. Yeah.
But that was...
Yeah, it was a little intense, but it was I liked it a lot.
Really gruesome, and I was like, wow, this looks amazing.
Yeah, and I think it made it a little bit better how there it really wasn't a happy ending.
Because
mm-hmm. all the kids are still like in that moment.
Of Archer holding his son.
Yeah, just forgetting blank about face. Everything, and then just taking his son and leaving.
Just like, blank face. Just...
Yeah. But I like that there what it's not really a happy ending because mm-hmm. all the kids are still messed up. The parents are messed up. Alex now has to live with another aunt who's nice, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think a lot of people are wanting a GLaDOS prequel.
I don't either.
I could see them doing it and it could work, but I don't think it's necessary.
It's kind of the same way how I feel about them doing this Ocean's prequel, Ocean's
yeah.
11 prequel,
yeah.
or whatever. Like, I don't want to know Danny Ocean's parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want to think that Danny Ocean's just a good thief. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really want to know GLaDOS's backstory. I like the mystery.
Yeah, I do too. Of it. Yeah. I like the way it ended off, and I think it could just be a good one-off movie.
Back to the cinematography, I love the, I don't know why, the shot of Paul getting in his car, in his police car, and the camera is on the door, and then he, like, slams it, and you can, like, really feel that his anger through, mm-hmm. like, the rattle of mm-hmm. the camera. I loved that shot a mm-hmm. lot. Actually, what's funny, when Marcus is chasing Justine through the gas station,
mm-hmm.
they filmed that with someone holding a camera, and obviously, and then with a gimbal, and on roller skates.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I've seen the behind the scenes for that, and it looks really cool.
I wonder how many takes it took to do that.
Yeah. Could you imagine falling?
Yeah.
Like, the floor's got to be slippery.
And if you fall and you break the camera.
And he had to turn.
Oh, yeah. Like, what if you fell and broke the camera?
Or if you fell and broke a refrigerator.
Huh?
Because he used to go through the...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't give context. He just... What if he just broke a refrigerator?
Yeah. That was kind of weird. I thought you were trying to reference another movie where somebody's on roller skates and run into a fridge. I don't know.
But, it's like yeah. McLovin when he, like, drops the beer and the guy's like... Did you drop that?
Yeah.
No, sir. You should really clean that up. Someone could get hurt.
Yeah. I liked all the shots of this movie.
I also liked the one with James when he's, like, opening the door and he's, like, shaking the handle mm-hmm. and then the camera's it on the shakes. Door
yeah.
and it shakes and then it opens and then you see them, like, walking through.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I also like the shots of, like, the house, like, when Justine's in her car
mm-hmm.
and then, like, it's just zoomed in.
Yeah.
It's really like the visual, like the perspective that they're mm-hmm. trying to show. This movie has a big, big message and theme behind perspective.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. Also, don't know how we didn't get into this yet. What was she doing?
Oh, with Justine following Alex?
Yeah.
Yeah, that entire sequence was just like.
Like giving kids rides home?
Yeah. Let's just follow Alex and then.
And then breaking like into his house almost.
Well, she goes through the backyard, looks through the window, sees the parents just sitting there, and...
Also, why were they there and not the kitchen table? Because they're on the couch until mm-hmm. we see Alex's perspective, and they're at the kitchen table the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Alex was like, can we put them on the kitchen, or on the couch to make them more comfortable?
The fork thing my was theory. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that was so just... too much for like a child to see.
Yeah.
Like that had just super creepy. But Alex took it like a champ.
Yeah.
He really did. Like he was stone
You can obviously tell he has a favorite parent in this movie.
His dad.
He just did not care about his mom. His dad's stabbing himself. They're both stabbing themselves, and he's like, "Dad, stop."
Yeah.
What about your mom?
Yeah, well, his dad definitely seemed like the fun one.
Yeah.
But
you're saying Gladys wasn't the fun one?
No. No. She kind of irritated me when she got mad at Alex immediately, and I was like, you're not the parent.
Yeah.
So that was...
You're Gladys.
Yeah, and he doesn't even know who you are.
Have you seen your haircut?
Yeah, seriously. Alex
I like took the, this whole the makeup thing choice like a in this movie.
Huh?
I like the makeup choice for all the characters in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Gladys looked so creepy. So creepy. And then, like, even she had, like, long strands of, like, gray hair. And then, like, at one point, it seemed like they were braided.
She looked like Gollum.
Yeah. Yeah. She was very creepy. But I'm assuming, like, if her plan would have worked, she would have been, like, super young. But, like, why you have to dress like that?
Yeah.
Like, where is your face?
I think that was like her that? Trying to, like, attach herself to the youth of...
Maybe.
Of, like, a circus or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's all I got.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you liked it overall?
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I'd stick with a 4.
I am too.
I was really nitpicky about this one because I feel like this movie can take the nitpicks.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. Really enjoyed it. Can't wait to see what Zach Cregger does in the future. Can't wait to see what Julia Gardner does in the future. Benedict Wong, Josh Brolin, Alex, the guy that played James.
Yeah. I'm
pretty sure he's supposed to be in the Resident Evil movie.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see where this movie takes everyone's careers. And
we don't need a prequel.
No, I don't think we need a prequel, a sequel.
No.
Leave a it legacy as sequel. A leave remake. It as
yeah.
This is just one. Just don't touch it. Hopefully, because this year has been so good for originals and so bad for legacy sequels, remakes, reboots, that we finally are going back into the originals. Because, I mean, film does that. Film is like a pendulum. It swings a lot. For a while, for a good, like, 15, 20 years, we were at the good movies from, like, early 90s to, like, 2020, basically. 2019. That's a long time.
I'd say a little closer to 2015.
2019 was a fantastic year for film.
Yeah, that's kind of like a
It kind of dropped off a few years. I feel like the early 2000s didn't have anything great. But this, I think, since 2020, it's been a rough while for... couple years.
Yeah.
But it's definitely picked back up. Like 2000 or 2022 had some great movies.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, past 2 years had some great movies. This year's had some great movies. Mm-hmm. Next year, it's going to be great. Rest of this year's going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. Say that again.
Yeah. I'm excited to see
we get back into the originals. And physical media is kind of picking up a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be great. Couple of years. Yeah. Hopefully the pendulum is swinging back. I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some good ones this year, and it looks, based off of what's coming out, it's going to just continue.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Really excited for the rest of the year. So, join us for Friday for movie news and Tuesday's episode.
Tuesday's episode will be our DC fan casting.
Yeah, it's going to be our fun episode of the month.
Yep.
And, yeah. And in case we don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.